Well, good afternoon. My task, just for a few minutes, is actually to bring you some light in darkness, which is a very familiar metaphor at Christmas time. And, well, it's something we all enjoy, isn't it? Light in darkness. I mean, last Christmas was pretty dull and dreary, unless, of course, you were partying at number 10. They had a good time. This Christmas will be better, our Prime Minister has promised. Well, thanks. That's a low threshold. But there's still just that looming, oh yeah, get your shopping in, don't leave it till Christmas Eve this year, because, well, it just hangs over a bit of it. So light in darkness, that's what we need. Now, at where I live, in central London, our street has always been a little bit condescending towards those who put up significant Christmas lights. I mean, there's always been one or two who have trees, much like this, outside their houses. And that's spent with a little rolling of the eyes, you know, a little bit de trop. Apart from last year, when all of a sudden, in the monotony and the tedium of another lockdown, we entered a neon reindeer arms race. And I've got photos on my phone of our particular offering. I'll happily share them with you. But what once upon a time was a bit naff now is just absolutely competitive in its blinding light. Even the taxi driver you get a lift home, oh, went to the street. Oh yeah, is that the one with all the naff lights? No. That's the one cheering up the neighbourhood. But we need it. We need a little bit of light. It cheers us up. Nothing compares to Jeremy Vokes and his family. Normally, one of the newspapers will carry a picture of their house at this time of year because they live up in Cumbria, and they put up every year 150,000-odd bulbs. It takes them 6 months to get them out and erect them and then put them away again. And if you ever see there's always one of the newspapers has them. If you see a photo, there'll be Mr. and Mrs. Vokes, you know, proudly in front of their house with all their lights and their two teenagers looking at them, deeply embarrassed, but dragged into the photo. And the RAF apparently used them to navigate their way up Cumbria. But there is something very comforting about light in darkness. And it's a metaphor that crops up numerous times in the accounts of the birth of Jesus. So just at the very end of the reading that Tim just gave us, we're told that John the Baptist is going to tell people about Jesus. Jesus' role is to shine on those living in darkness, in the shadow of death. So I just want to play with this, or just bring out some truths of this one little metaphor of light in darkness. Just bear with me. Two things. The first thing that this means is that Jesus came. He came to bring light to a dark debt. Light to a dark debt. It's explained what this light in darkness means in part. It is to give people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. That's a very Bible word for sentence, isn't it? The knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. But forgiveness, it's a bit harder to find in the 21st century. We're not very good, certainly publicly, at offering forgiveness. So if you'll forgive me, I do love cricket, apart from this morning when I woke up. But I love cricket. And it's a very striking instance at the moment, particularly around Yorkshire Cricket Club. So Michael Vaughan, the former cricket captain, accused of in 2009 making a racist statement. He denies it. But three others who were witnesses said, yeah, you said that. You said that. Now, partly you want to say, now listen, Michael Vaughan, why don't you say, yeah, I did it. I admit. You know, back in 2009, I was a fool back then. I've learned so much in the last 12 years. I am deeply sorry. But he hasn't done that. He refuses to do that. Why doesn't he just say sorry? I don't know. Probably he fears what happens if he admits it. Possibly he just doesn't want to be, I don't think of myself as a person who's racist. So I couldn't have said that, even though it's 12 years ago, could I? But now, he probably made the problem worse, and there's certainly no forgiveness for him. TV contracts cancelled. But then alongside that, you've got Azeem Rafiq, who's one of those who accused him. And the newspapers have dug up from 10 years ago, when he was 19 years old. He made racist comments, anti-Semitic comments. Now, he has said, oh, I'm really sorry. Yeah, I was 19 years old. What an idiot. I've grown up since then. But still, people are saying, well, you can't listen to anything that man says. You must ignore everything the man says. Well, golly, do you stand by everything that you said a decade ago? But there's no forgiveness. If you can drag up a tweet from 10 years ago, no forgiveness. It's as if you said it today. Forgiveness is quite hard to find. Can you imagine a world where the Prime Minister actually stood up and said, actually, you know what? Yeah, we had a party. We did. And I'm really sorry. And the opposition stood up and said, well, thank you for being honest. We forgive you. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine whatever's going on at Mar-a-Lago, Donald Trump putting out on his new billion-dollar Twitter equivalent, saying, to be honest, I'm really sorry for undermining democracy by challenging the result of the president. I'm really sorry. I'm just going to shut up and go away. But on the other side, everyone just said, oh, well, thank you. That's really mature. We forgive you. Can you imagine that? No, I know it's not always, there's other things going on. I know it's not quite as simple as that. But forgiveness is quite rare these days. We're told here that Jesus came to forgive. He came for the forgiveness of sins. Your sin and mine, and we naturally say, yeah, but I'm Michael Vaughan. I've done nothing wrong. I mean, well, I've done something wrong, but nothing of significance. But everything we do wrong, it builds up a little bit of moral debt. Every harsh word, aggressive action, malicious thought, just builds up a little bit of moral debt. And Jesus came to pay it all off. Subordinate, do you know that by the end of the Second World War, the UK had racked up £21 billion worth of debt? And do you know when we paid it off? That was 1945. Actually, 2006, we finally paid off that debt. Of course, nowadays, £21 billion. I mean, you know, there was a sort of nine-month window where we were borrowing more than that every month as a country. £22 billion every month is getting borrowed. So, you know, sums go up and up. Who knows when we'll pay that all off? But Jesus came to pay off a different debt, a moral debt. For everything you've done wrong, I've done wrong. That is light in darkness. Now you might think to yourself, yeah, whatever. Now if someone came and paid off my debts, my financial debts, that would be exciting this Christmas. Someone came to write off my mortgage, student loans, children's student loans, whatever it may be, write off every debt. I mean, the company, whoop, everything that's red, wipe all that off. That would be a game changer. I'm sure it would. For a few years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years maybe, I don't know. It would change things for a while. This claim, Jesus came to wipe off all moral debt, that affects eternity. Because you can't get into heaven with moral debt. It needs to be paid off, forgiven. So that's light. That's light to a dark debt of sin. Because forgiveness of sins means, well, that's eternity in paradise. So that's light in darkness. And let me say one other thing. Just again, this one verse in verse 79. There's light to the shadow of death. Jesus came to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. Now, that is an extraordinary claim, that he came to deal with death. I don't know what happens in the last, whatever you want to call it, 20 months or so. We've got a strange relationship with death. It's pretty, I mean, we get used to it now, but it's pretty weird, isn't it? Every night, if you bother to watch the news, it's slightly repetitive. There's just a figure. Let's look at the official statistics from today. And, there's a figure, death. And so you say, yeah, whatever. Gone up or down, oh, it's double figures, oh, it's triple figures again, single figures, no, that's not going to happen, not for a while. You sort of just get inured to that number, don't you, after a while. Do you remember April of 2020? That number produced fear. We were scared then. Oh, and then sort of familiarity, yes, it was this, it's that number again, and then frustration, can we just go back to normal again? And then, of course, in the wonderfully British way, that number just produces gags, because that's what we do in the face of death. So there's plenty of good ones, of course, particularly the Christmas-related COVID ones. You'd have heard these. Why are Santa's reindeer allowed to travel freely around Christmas? They have herd immunity. Why do we want COVID to be a panto? Because then it's behind you. Why did the pirates have to go into lockdown? It's my favourite, actually. Because the R factor had gone up. I quite like that. I mean, that's what we do. We cope with things with a few gags. But it's different if someone you love has died. I became an orphan this year. And many of you would have known that, I'm sure, at some point. A couple of days' time, it's the interment of my mother and father's ashes. Yeah, that separation's hard. Still feels, at the moment, quite hard. And Jesus promises light to those in the shadow of death. He's promising life beyond death. We sing in the moment, probably the most famous of hymns, but we'll sing in a moment, "Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth, born for a new life in heaven." Now that is light. If you'll indulge me, the sweetest moment, without a doubt, in the last few months of my mother, who died after my dad, my mother's life, was the last night she was at home before she went into hospital to die. And she'd had a carer living with her for the last 3 months, a magnificent woman, Evelyn. And it was obviously the last night before she went in, and Evelyn, they'd become quite good friends, really. Evelyn was on her knees at my mum's chair, sort of holding her legs, sobbing and sobbing and sobbing, quite demonstratively. And my mother, very frail by this point, managed to sort of lift her head and with bemusement said, "But Evelyn, why are you crying? You know I'm going to be with Jesus. You know I'll be free of pain soon. Evelyn, don't cry." That is the sort of sentence that makes you cry. It doesn't stop you. It's a lovely moment. She knew she had a place in heaven, reunited with her husband. That is light in darkness when things go wrong. That absolutely changes things. We all live under the shadow of death. Sometimes it comes close, but most of the time it's sort of a long way away. But knowing that there's a way through that, that's why Jesus came. So look, I said my street was always a little bit cynical with tacky lights, but in the last couple of years, we've discovered there's enormous pleasure in lighting up the whole street. We've overcome our cynicism, and good on us, I say. You may not think so. But with Jesus, a lot of people are cynical. But when he makes extraordinary promises such as these, forgiving all your moral debt, forgiveness for anything you've done wrong, a way through death to be with him, but to be united with others you love. I mean, you might be cynical, but when promises like that are made, why would you not see if they're true? And look, I'm a Christian minister, that's what I do for a living. And my great plea is that everyone, as an adult, has a proper look at the claims of Jesus. Because if you do, there is light in darkness. He'll forgive the dark debt of sin. He'll take you out of the shadow of death. That would transform even the bleakest of Christmases. Who knows what it brings in the next few weeks. But that is light in darkness. Let me pray briefly. Our great God and Father, we thank you and praise you for this season where we remember the work of the Lord Jesus. Would we understand more what it means that he brings light to darkness? Amen.